cliffcentral.com.
You gotta love that jungle music, right?
No, you gotta. Definitely. In the afternoon on a Friday.
Oh, man. On a cloudy kind of African Friday.
Actually, it's a very dope African Friday.
Yeah, man.
But does that mean the cyclone is headed this way?
Oh, snap.
Yes.
Yeah, so actually...
No.
First and foremost, yo, it's No Borders.
Welcome to No Borders, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. every Friday, live during your lunchtime, or if you're like us and unemployed, then it's not really lunchtime, it's just like any other period of the day.
Yeah, man, because
really?
You got to be able to afford lunch.
That is true.
Do you carry leftovers?
No, because I didn't have leftovers.
I miss leftovers from home back in Morocco, like it's a shawarma. I'm really on this tip. I'm probably going to become like an honorary ambassador of Morocco.
Actually, if you keep on going like this, you're going to have to take a trip out.
So I'm learning Arabic. I've been reading the Quran.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar. I'm going for prayers after this.
Yeah.
And no more alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I doubt that's...
In public.
Well, look. Oh, right. Oh, so you can drink in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, actually, there's a bottle of VSOP Kvassia that is at our disposal. But that's just for those people who drink.
Okay.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take
But if you come from Morocco and you're like an astute Muslim, there's nothing for you today.
Yes, but I mean, that's my life. And I hold that dear to myself and to my family and my values.
You need a lot of help, my brother.
So,
a lot.
What's up, y'all? We want to dedicate this show to the people of Mozambique.
Yes, definitely.
We want the whole of Africa, the whole world, to pray for Mozambique in light of, tropical cyclone Danielle.
Danielle, yeah.
Fortunately, it passed over land, so it downgraded from a tropical cyclone to a tropical depression.
Yeah.
Ex-Danielle. So from 120 kilometers an hour, it's at 80 kilometers an hour, which is still going to be devastating. And so far, 6 people have passed away.
Yep.
So, yeah, our hearts and, you know... We're, you know, praying for Mozambique and, yeah.
It's crazy how some of these natural disasters, like, you know, tend to happen. And you think, in a moment where you're thinking of other things affecting your life, like, for instance,
exactly.
Unfortunately, Kev got robbed. Again. So, well, crime
and,
still.
And then it seems so meager compared to what other people are going through.
Actually,
you know what
going
I mean?
Through,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, consider that type of cyclone actually traveling across and coming through into South Africa.
Yeah, because they said it's going to affect parts of Zim.
Yeah.
There's going to come down to Limpopo,
yep.
Parts of Mpumalanga, and even KwaZulu-Natal.
But now the thing is, it's a natural disaster, so you don't actually have... This is just all based on scientific analysis.
So you don't know.
You actually
don't know. Yeah.
It could be coming through the fourways, you know? Shout out to fourways, man. Fourways, like, it's like a cyclone anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people, if you're listening, if you're on your, you know, social media platforms, Hashtag pray for Mozambique. And it's not just a hashtag, it's also about awareness.
Yeah,
because I don't believe in hashtags except if there's awareness and people are actually thinking, okay, snap, yeah, let's, you know, give our prayers out to fellow Africans. And if there's anything that we can actually do, because, you know, a lot of people are going to become homeless. A lot of people are already homeless, actually. Houses have been flooded, people are missing. So whatever we can do as nations, hey, presidents, all of you, do something, man.
Okay, well, we can forget about that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's try our best. So this show is dedicated to Mozambique. Pray for Mozambique. Let's get it.
We got Jacques in the studio.
We got Jacques. Jacques. So I'm the worst person with names, right? So there's an S at the end of Jacques. So yeah. I was like, how do I pronounce? I'm going to ask him before the show.
Yeah.
Is it Jacques or Jacques? Or is it Jean-Claude Van Damme? Like, how do you...
I play too much rugby, so I think I'm going to go with Jacques, and that's the correct
name.
There you go.
He just put a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I can't hear Jacques. Is he not close enough to the mic, or...
Oh, she's probably hating on his volume levels, as usual.
Jacques, mic check.
Mic check.
There we go.
Jacques is in the building.
Jacques, please give us a brief introduction, because the email that I got, like, with, like, his profile,
yeah.
I'm like, snap, wow.
It's like a CV.
It's not even a CV, dog. It's like 3 CVs. Like, he's got MD, blah. I'm like, is he a doctor? Is he a business coach?
What does he do? Yeah.
What do you do, Jacques?
What do I do?
Full
typing.
Name as well, yeah. Full name, yeah.
Jacques Van Yerden.
I'm
a business executive coach. What does that mean?
It means you make people make money, yeah.
Well, I help people make money.
Thank
I help
you.
People think about making
okay,
money.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I primarily work in corporate, government, and mostly business.
100%.
And so what I do and what I like to do is all about attacking thought process, how we think about business, how we think about ourselves in business.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm passionate about that key aspect of what I do.
Okay.
It is really about what's going on in your mind, And therefore, are you called? Do you have a purpose?
Yeah.
And are you allowing yourself to dream big?
Yeah.
You know, so, and challenging all of that and encouraging thoughts.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Everything is first of all created in the mind
before
it's physically created.
True.
You know, Jacques, I have like, okay, there are two things that I really want to clarify. The second one is the easier one, but the first one is, so everyone, you know how when we were growing up, Kamu, they call us millennials, but I want to think 1986 were slightly before the millennial kids, right?
Yeah, quite, yeah.
Yeah. When we were growing up, we were raised to work. Like, go to school, get a degree, get a job, maybe get a master's and blah, 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 right? That was that train of thought back then.
Sure.
Then with the millennials in the 90s, early 2000s, they've been taught, no, go to school, but attain an education so that you can open a business, so that you can hire people.
Yeah.
And that's what they're all being taught. So you find all these little kids coming out saying, you know what, I'm not going to find a job because I'm going to start my own business. And then they're like 35, I'm going to start my own business. They're still living with their parents. You know what I mean? So where does the balance come in to say, okay, not everyone is made for business, but the business world seems to be telling everyone that everyone should become a businessman.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Well, it's all about sustainability, self-sufficiency, being able to be independent. But you're right. Not everybody is called to do business. I never thought I was called to do business.
Yeah. I've opened up three companies. They've all failed.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I just registered the papers. There are no actual buildings.
So there's actually no failure. You still have a chance. Yeah. Well, now you got a coach.
Yeah, now I got a coach. And I'm going to ask for advice for free on the show.
Please.
Yeah, it's like most things. Yeah. When we're dealing with millennials, it's all about, what are you passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
What do you really want to do? And with millennials, it's, if it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it. There 100%. Isn't that same kind of approach and commitment from the older generations where I'm loyal to something, and once I've made my decision, I'm going to stick it. Millennials are in that space where if it feels good and if you treat me well, then I'm going to pursue something like that. But I think it's about that no boundary aspect of a business.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of my own sort of success. And that's the key. And so what we do is that we need to find out whether you do have a passion for business first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's very, and then with strategy, be successful.
True.
If only you're starting a business because you have no other option, and it's just one of the strategies that you're following to put food on the table, in the end, you become burnt out. In the end, you're always looking for other
opportunities. I think that sounds like me, Jacques. Yeah. I'm burnt out. So burnt out. Yeah.
Hey, man, aren't we all, man? Like, I mean, our generation has gone through so much.
No, but realistically, I mean, it's actually great that he mentioned it like that, because a lot of us who feel we're entrepreneurial in our ways don't actually realize that there's certain aspects that we're probably just missing from the actual entrepreneurial hustle that are making things not work out. Then we end up, like he's saying, you end up being burnt out because all you're doing is you're working to pay the DSTV, which has gone up again. And listen, MultiChoice, we're not a joke this time. We come into the office and we gotta talk. It's getting ridiculous. Like, but yeah,
we're immigrants.
Right.
We ain't got nothing to lose.
No, we actually have nothing to lose because we lost everything.
But come now, you've brought up a very good point, which is my second point. See, this is why we host the show together. Yeah. We are enemies of the state.
Wonderful. Yes.
To each other, but yeah, we think for each other. Mm-hmm. So he brought up entrepreneurs. So how are you an entrepreneur for like 15 years? You know what I mean? Like, everyone, I meet a whole lot of people. I'm not a business-minded person.
Hey,
I'm not business-savvy.
Me, it's 4 years, Baba. 4 years.
Nah, come on, but I mean, there are actual people who, like, you can't call yourself an entrepreneur. Let me not say that because I'm not really, like, I don't know. I'm just saying from my own very shallow perspective, you know, as a what do you call it, an amateur.
Yeah.
I don't think you can call yourself an entrepreneur. I don't think it's a profession.
No, it's actually...
You're a business person, right? I mean, what's the difference between an entrepreneur and a business person?
An entrepreneur, as you're right, it's an attitude that you're having.
Yeah.
That's it. You're looking for all kinds of opportunities to make money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In actual fact, I think a true entrepreneur is, in any situation, looks for that silver lining to make some money.
It's a hustle.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with actually opening up a business. So we're entrepreneurs because we're on radio. We're just trying to make some money.
Well, you saw the opportunity. You take it. At the end of the day, are you making money?
That's the thing.
And not are you generating
income? Okay, so we're not
entrepreneurs
yet. Wow. Okay. Okay.
But
wait, now that's
there's no real time frame, is there? There's no real time frame in terms of you making money as an entrepreneur, is there? Really?
Well, the time frame is depending on your budget and depending on what you're doing as an entrepreneur.
Everything you're saying is just so not us.
It's like, hey, should we cut the show in half? Yeah, like,
every time
we're out of time.
Oh, there's a budget. Oh, don't have that. No.
Well, what I mean by that is it's not just money.
Yeah.
It's really everything else that you have. I'd like to call it what's in your hands, what's in your cupboard.
Yeah.
What do you have? Your talent, you know, and that ingenuity that comes from creativity.
Yeah.
Do you have any of that, or do you kind of run out of ideas very quickly? So
I know they're more okay. No, they're more fun.
So I mean, you can sell anything for profit.
We actually can.
So it's and I know this is a show that's uncut, but I mean, I like to use this as if you see the lady of the night standing in the street corner, in a way, she's an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
in a way. Those are some of the biggest. We look up to those people.
That's the oldest living hustle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah. So what she's doing and how she's promoting herself, or he or she, let me not discriminate, is for a profit.
Yeah, but when do you see guys on the corner? That's Jack just actually raised something very interesting.
Really? Are we going from entrepreneurs to male prostitution?
We're discussing specific entrepreneurs, and now we landed up at prostitution. So
gigolos.
Yeah, so gigolos. You don't actually get gigolos on the street. What if gigolos went on the street? They would have more business.
I don't know about that, family. Who are willing to pay for a dude? we need a woman.
There you go.
Hey, Taylor, you willing to pay for a dude?
We're going to have to ask Taylor about
I think I'm glad you mentioned that. But the key to entrepreneurship as well, in order for you to spot the opportunities, is that you got to look around, you got to see, you got to do your research.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and this is Google at the fingertips.
That I didn't do.
Millennials do research in real time.
Yes.
They glue to that phone or whatever device they're using, but they have access to information.
I always talk about the $1 billion tweet.
Yeah.
Uber.
Yeah, the Uber tweet, yeah.
I could have been that dude.
I
was 20 seconds behind that dude to just tweet that dude like, yo, I got something right here in Africa. I don't need a billion. I need 2 million.
I just told Jacques, now I tweeted Pizza Hut 8 times.
Nothing.
So I guess it doesn't work in Africa. Is that
Wait. don't go there because we're going to play a clip and then I discuss that with Jacques. We're going to play a clip in a second.
Okay.
But I think Jacques has clarified the misconception between business person and entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is not a profession. It's a state of mind.
Yes.
Say, wherever there's an opportunity to make money, now it's a clarification. Because you can't go around calling yourself an entrepreneur.
No, you actually
I sell tomatoes. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, come on. You know what I mean?
But you can kind of, can't you?
Okay, if you are asked, what do you do?
Yeah.
I don't think you should be saying, I'm an entrepreneur. Because everyone is an entrepreneur. So you can't put that on your business card. KCF Malindi, entrepreneur.
Okay. Well,
I
guess you can. No,
it's not a title. It's everyone's an entrepreneur because everyone's looking to make an extra buck.
Well, that's
especially
the thing.
In Africa.
You'd be actually surprised how many people are not looking to make an extra buck. Who are comfortable sitting in their job,
mediocre,
collecting whatever it is. Yeah. Because guys,
end of the month, they're good.
They're good, and actually, they're not good because the money
overdraft.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Live in debt. I mean, yeah. Okay, Palisa. I don't know how to do this.
Why don't you know how to do it?
No, because she didn't. Okay, shall not. Okay, it's playing.
Alan.
On Instagram, Snapchat, but basically my question is on weed startups.
Weed?
Yeah.
Remember? Okay. Yes, I heard it.
So there is a company called Get Meta, backed by Y Combinator. They're calling it the Uber for weed.
Everybody's calling everything the Uber of everything. I'm the Uber of humans, bitch. Go ahead.
The Uber of weed is actually really cool because you can like type in your zip code and then live conference with a doctor, like get your card, all that stuff. But I live in Houston, right?
Okay.
So that's legal for me.
Good.
So it doesn't work, right?
Okay.
Now, the other dude before you started talking about
Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
The rise of the rest and everyone having an opportunity.
Okay.
Everywhere. So what about people who are like selling or who want to? Okay, I feel like drug dealers are entrepreneurs of
like the purest form. No, seriously,
so my question is, if somebody who's born into wealth, right?
Yep.
They live in Silicon Valley. That's cool.
Yep.
Okay, they need to get $150,000 license a year. That's not.
Don't get it twisted, man. Stop your hate real quick. Most people that get money from Silicon Valley don't come from fucking Silicon Valley. So stop it right there. All but keep going.
Right.
But I'm not letting you just cliche it because that's bullshit. It's just not true.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So now, an entrepreneur like me, what if I wanted to study cannabis? What?
Then move to fucking Denver, bitch. Fuck Houston.
So why do I have to move to Denver, though? Like,
because that's the current law. Why do I hate Texas with all my heart? Because I'll tell you exactly right to your face. I hate Texas. Listen, I hate Houston more than you fucking hate the system right now, because I built a wine business where I shipped wine, and this fucking bullshit ass state took Specs money, the politicians, and blocked only one store from shipping to Texas, me, because I was at the top of the heap. I was doing $4 million in sales here, saving all Texas people money because I was creating competition, and the wholesalers, three of them, paid your fucking bullshit ass Houston politicians to block me from shipping here, and one day I got a letter and said, you can't ship here anymore. So what am I supposed to do? I can open a store in fucking Texas and throw down, or I can adjust. That's what you have to do. Nobody gives a fuck about your feelings, bro. No, but for real. Like, and the reason I'm coming at you like this is I'm pumped for you. You're a kid. Like, don't cry about, here's the biggest problem. Bullshit entrepreneurs cry about the way they want it to be instead of reacting to the way it actually is. So you need to eliminate rich kids, because I was born with dick. I lived in a studio apartment with 8 family members on the size of this stage and split toilet paper, okay? So there's no excuse that somebody, most people that are born with wealth, bro, they lose, because they're soft. So if you're so angry, put it to good energy and go move to Denver, or enjoy 19 to 22, chill, then move to Denver, or wait for the laws to change. You can't cry about how it is. That's just, never, ever, ever, ever the right move. Good. I would argue that there was not enough clapping for that part right there.
I thought we were cocky. this is a cocky dude. Like, I want to argue that. Are we on?
Are we on?
Okay. Could you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So, yeah, I mean, that's a clip I ran into on...
Thanks, Palliser.
Yeah. I ran into on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So, basically what the dude is saying... So, the kid was asking... Sorry for all the cussing, man. That was a lot of cussing. Yeah. I mean, we cuss on the show, but like...
Well, it's about money. I think that was worth it. Yeah.
That was extreme. That sounded like, what's it called? Wolf for Wall Street.
Yeah. It was quite
pissed. That was ridiculous. But I mean, his points of view, so this kid's asking, for if the audio wasn't that good, this kid was asking, yo, okay, so you know how Colorado legalized the legal sale of marijuana?
Of marijuana, yeah.
Yeah, right? But this kid's in Texas. So he's like, I want to make money. And the dude's like, but you want systems to change for you? Like, you're not going to make any money. And I think that's the biggest problem we have in Africa, exactly going back to your point, Kamal, to say a lot of people, and I spoke to Jacques about this just before the show, I said a lot of business people or entrepreneurs or people who want to get into business in Africa always talk about how the system doesn't allow them to. The people who are in business, how do they get there? Like, I mean, systems, Jacques. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a bit, like, what, like, in your lecture? So we're going to get a free lecture for our listeners from Jacques. What do you tell people who, you know, come through your channel and your business when they want to open up businesses in very harsh economic climates or political policy-related climates?
Well, you know, in terms of where we start, we don't do a reality check at the beginning. First and foremost, we make sure that you actually have a picture of what it is you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And that's very important. And then throughout the facilitation is, okay, so what is it that you have that's going to help you do that? And then you look at what is there that's going to try and prevent you from doing that. So the whole aspect of that is you've got to build momentum to achieving your business goals, mm-hmm. or if you want to start a business. And so the key would be so now you've identified a system or you have identified a barrier. The positive approach is, so what are we going to do about it? It's not a question of, well, it's a barrier and therefore I cannot do. Mm. The thing about it is identify it so that you can do something about it.
Yeah.
And that is where the creativity comes. That's where our role really comes into its own, because it's to help you think beyond what is in front of you.
Yeah.
Think out of it. Think beyond it. And the key would be is, okay, if that's the system, all right, and that's what the system is doing, to think out of the box is go create your own system for success.
Wow.
I agree with that.
That's quite prolific. I'm impressed, because you know what? I mean, my view, I'm going to be very honest with you, Jacques, and we're very honest on the show.
Yeah.
It's like I always looked at business coaches the same way I looked at, what do you call these people?
Which one?
Motivational speakers.
Motivational speakers. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I really hate motivational speakers.
Why, though?
You can do it. I'm telling you, look deep down inside you. Dog, I've been looking. Look deep down inside you. You've got it within you. I'm like, wait, hold on.
But don't you think motivational speakers actually have like a role for certain individuals of a certain
Mm-mm.
type?
They're steal people's money.
No, okay. Steal.
Motivational speakers are like
pastors. I
wouldn't
say stealing.
And, yeah.
If you're going to give it to them. I mean, if a guy comes to and says, I can motivate you to do something. And you say yes. And he says it's $50 a session. And you say yes again. That's
daylight robbery, fam.
But how?
Of the masses that are uneducated and unaware. But I mean, with Jacques, like, I actually learned stuff. And he doesn't speak from a faith-based, holy kind of,
He understands business.
Background. He's like, no, dog, this is how it goes.
Look
this
at
is
Jacques, what business. Look at Jacques' shirt. He's got money. Obviously, one of his businesses must be working out. If this is one of them, clearly,
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm enlightened.
I haven't seen a white shirt like that in about 15 years.
What, since high school?
Yeah, I swear.
When Jeep was still affordable?
This shirt is too crisp.
Oh, snap. Okay, so, Jacques, what's the business called?
The Mufasa Business Coaching Practice.
Okay, where are you guys based?
We're based in Benoni, of all places. That's where Charlize Theron comes from.
Oh, snap. Right. You had to throw that in, man.
I had to because people don't know social. hang on. Great. And so in Benoni, we polish the pearl because it's a jewel of the East Rand.
All right.
And we also believe that's where all the wisdom comes from the East.
Okay, well, no problem. I mean, you guys can believe whatever you want to believe. Well, clearly you've got a believer in Palliser because he comes from there. Well, I guess. We don't really know where Palliser comes from.
Like, we have no idea.
We actually have no idea. And we need to ask. But guys, if you want to weigh in on the discussion, you can get us on WhatsApp on 079-784-2090. That's 079-784-2090. You can weigh in on the discussion, and we'll have a look at your WhatsApps in the next 5 to 10 minutes. And yeah, we can give Jacques a view of what everybody thinks about business coaching, and entrepreneurship.
Jacques, so what is the reception of business coaching in the country?
I think there's an understanding of what it can bring.
Because black people got issues, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was just explaining to somebody today that there's an approach to business coaching. Initially, there's ignorance, not really understanding what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a man,
that was me. I'll agree to it. I was ignorant.
It's like asking
and
for
biased and prejudiced
up to this point. But you're okay now.
No, now I'm okay with Jacques. I don't know about the others. Yeah.
But you're describing that it's a relationship building approach. For men, generally, we don't like to ask directions.
Yeah, I got
you. So if I have to ask for somebody to come and help me, then it's like it's an acknowledgement that I cannot do. It's actually maybe an acknowledgement that I am a failure because I don't know, I don't have all the answers. Mm. But coaching is not about providing answers. It's not consulting.
Yeah.
And it's not counseling.
Oh, yeah.
It does say, and that's why in its approach, it is motivational because it says you've got the answers.
Yeah.
We're just going to help you unpack those answers. We're your thought partner. That's what we do.
Basically. Which I thought was the actual understanding of business coaching, because you generally would deal with people who have no understanding and people who have understanding as well. So they would need basically your guidance or your insight in terms of how to move forward from where they are at that particular moment.
Correct.
Or that particular position as an entrepreneur or as a current businessman.
Yes.
Let's say I deal in shirts and I feel like my shirt business could expand or needs a little bit of help. I would come to you, basically.
You would come to me, and the reason you'd come to me is that you just want to kind of formulate a coherent plan.
Yeah.
Because you know what to do. You've got the ingenuity. You've spotted the opportunity.
Yeah.
So the kinds of things that we will ask you is, listen, are you making the right promises to the right people?
Exactly.
And then once you've made them, are you planning on delivering to those promises? And those are the key things that you need to think about.
Okay.
It's no good setting up a factory and being able to do things when you don't have a market.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or you're having a lot of marketing activities, but you're actually telling the wrong people.
That is actually very true. It's funny how you say that, because I've noticed a lot of people have started to use social media as a massive platform to market. But now, for instance, let's say I do events, and I do artists, and I do stuff like that. But I have 5,000 followers or 5,000 friends and probably another 1,000 or two followers as well.
Yeah.
So if I put out a post, I'm expecting at least, let's say, 10 to 15% of those people to respond. How many people do you think actually respond? Like, point something.
But the thing is, Kamu, you need to understand, because that's actually my line of business right now, digital marketing. Facebook has algorithms.
Yeah.
So even if you've got 5,000 followers, they won't allow your posts unless it's been boosted or 100%. Unless it's been advertised for it to reach all those people.
I totally agree. No, I'm just speaking not even based on the algorithms alone. I'm just speaking based on the fact that this is the type of understanding.
Okay.
So somebody like a layman would think, okay, if I've got 5,000 people, when I post, 5,000 people see.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So from a business perspective, this is a guy going into business thinking, I'm going to tell 5,000
people
that
I've
started a business. When you've only told 20. Of which 20 out of the 25 don't care. 5 are inactive. The other 5 probably saw it and forgot about it. And the one person who's probably your girlfriend, partner, or your uncle or aunt is like, oh, yeah, well, you told us that already, so it doesn't matter. Basically, you've told no one. So I think what they're providing is a genuine service, because then now you're able to tell people that. Like, you see, for instance, that's insight.
Yes.
The digital marketing aspect.
Yeah.
He could actually share that with somebody. For all you know, someone listening to the show right now did not know anything about algorithms. They're probably looking at their phone right now.
Oh, snap. Google, what's an algorithm?
What's an algorithm? Yeah, you know? So it's very important. I think what he's saying is actually quite crucial. A lot of us go into this, feeling as if we understand and we have enough understanding in order to make the business successful. But we actually do need people like Zach.
And he used the perfect word. There's a lot of ignorance towards it.
An extreme amount of ignorance.
There's a lot of ignorance.
Yeah.
And I mean, as Africans, I mean, that's one of our biggest problems. We shun what we don't understand.
You are actually 100% right.
Yeah, there. Until it comes a time when everyone's... Because remember Facebook?
Yeah.
Remember the first days of Facebook? Offices banned Facebook.
Yeah,
they would block it. And now they're using it to advertise.
Do you
see how silly that is? Like, it takes us time to assimilate and to, you know, adapt to situations, which goes back to that point from the clip that we played, that, you know, systems.
Yes.
What you need to do is just to adapt
as opposed
to fight them. Yeah.
That makes us even weaker, because, like, if it's taking Africa, like, time consistently to always adapt to the things that are actually going to move us forward, it means we're always going to stay like 10, 20, 30 years behind regardless of what we do. And that's my major problem. I don't want my kids to be 10, 20, 30 years behind of anything.
Yeah. I don't want them to be 10 minutes behind anything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there you go. That's why, like, you see your kids on the tab, they'll tell you like, oh, dad, did you see them? Like,
no. You have like a extensive background. You studied in Australia. Where else? Like, it was too much. I couldn't, my reading, like, I have ADD.
Really?
ADD. I read the first line, I was like, okay, there.
It's just too many emails.
By the way, KF, that was just a summary of my
story. Oh, braggadocious, somebody.
No.
Go on and brag, brother, go on and brag.
Wow.
Well, it's just, you know, as a discipline, and therefore coaching is not training, it's not consulting. I don't wake up because I'm a certain age, I'm now in retirement, and therefore I'm now coach and I'm mentor.
Yeah.
It's actually a professional discipline.
Yeah.
So I had to become accredited in order for me to do this.
Yeah,
And
you're
so,
internationally accredited, as I noticed.
Yeah.
Correct. So I'm accredited with an organization in Australia,
okay,
and also with an organization in the States.
In the States, yeah.
New Jersey.
I've interacted with a lot of people who have American accreditation. Sorry, yeah.
Well, the professionalization of the art, the science, and really the practice and business of coaching really comes from America.
100%.
They've packaged this, and their systems they've built around to 100%. Ensure that at least there's some sort of governance, some rules that we all comply with.
Yeah. I've always thought, like, you see, with young people, I mean, My main mission in life, really, well, not main mission, I don't want to lie. My main mission is to drink and party. But my main mission in life, in terms of me helping out, would be to influence young people, like very young people, obviously. Like, obviously, we're looking at ages from about 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Get that group of people and identify entrepreneurs amongst those people and take them to the States, even for a month, even for 2 months, 3 months, even for a stretch, 4 years, 5 years, and have them indoctrinated in the way that the States does business, because they're obviously the global leader.
Yeah.
And have those people then come back and lead industry here. Except, because the only problem we have is we've got a bunch of suits that actually don't even understand industry, business, or whatever the case is, and that's why we're not moving forward.
Yeah.
But it's not starting at grassroots. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If we could do that, I swear, we'll actually catch up so much quicker.
100%. All right, we got to wrap it up. Take a quick...
Really? We're kicking Zach out of here?
Yeah, we're kicking Zach.
I'm learning a lot, man.
So Daniel, well, you got to pay for his services. He charges.
I don't have to pay. He's on my show.
Jacques, please just give the listeners your details again, how to find you, name of the company.
social media, especially because these ones love social media.
Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, and we're the Mufasa Coaching Practice. You'll find us on www.mufasacoaching.com. Mm-hmm. And also, if you search for us on Facebook, on Mufasa Coaching, we have a fan page there as well. And our office number is 011-849-9481.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jacques. That was amazing. We're going to holler at you. I hope the services are for free for us, the immigrants.
Well, obviously, we'll have to work that out. Something has to come out of this interview.
Or else he ain't leaving the building.
Yeah. So hit us up again on 079-784-2090. If you'd like to have a message that you want us to pass over to Jacques, mm-hmm. we can let him know as he's still chilling in the studio with us.
You already
but
know.
But yeah, we're going to have Taylor J coming next, right?
Yep. Namibia, stand up.
I swear.
Hundreds.
Let's go.
No Borders, what's up? We have our first... Oh, snap. No Borders, what's up? How y'all doing? We have the first Namibian on the show ever, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The first Namibian ever on the show, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
for real, though.
That is very true, actually.
Namibia, stand up. All 1.26 million of y'all.
So you see, haters, we actually...
We're 2 million. 2 million.
Are you really 2 million?
Yeah, we're 2 million.
That's like 1.6. Yeah.
Is that including, like, the desert?
No, I think we're, like, 2.2 now. Like, we're 2.2. We're getting there.
You're minus a few, because people have been going to Namibia to adopt kids and stuff.
That
right? Yeah, what's her name? Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt?
Did they adopt a kid from
no,
Namibia?
No, they gave birth. She gave birth in Namibia. Ah, yeah, she gave birth.
Yeah, I was right when you said they gave birth. I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Only, can only happen in Namibia.
Well, but white people say, like, you know what? We are pregnant.
Imagine. Yeah, they do. They do.
We're pregnant.
Well, see, black people say she's pregnant.
But she is pregnant. Say that to a black person. Like, what? Do not be saying we. Are you going through what I'm going? Hey, don't start tantrums, bro.
No. I swear to God.
Taylor J, what's good, ma?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Introduce yourself, man. Like, tell us a bit about Taylor J.
Okay, Tui Tsam Ngonagakoro. Say Tui Tsam Ngonagakoro. Yes, my name is Taylor J, the Super Chiquita.
Uh-huh.
Singer, songwriter, I do everything. You get what I mean? Business owner, yep.
That's oh, yeah, not, you see, not entrepreneur.
Yeah.
business owner. There you go. And when did the music thing start?
It's not a long time ago. No, I was six. I'm not going to get into a cliche story about
I was in the choir.
No. My mom brought me a mixtape when I was 6 years old.
Bought you a mixtape
when
you were
six? Your mom was actually very cool.
Yeah, like, she brought me, like, a mixtape that had, like, Naughty by Nature in them on it, and I was like, I want to be a rapper. But then...
Hold on. Let's rewind a bit. Like, we're going a bit too fast for me here. You know what I mean? I'm from the village in Morocco.
Oh, God.
I'm from Morocco.
Wait, hold up. Your mother...
Mm-hmm.
The woman who gave birth to you.
Yes.
Gave you a mixtape.
Yes.
Naughty by Nature.
Yeah.
When you were six.
Yes.
She's a G. We need her on the show.
I know.
Interview is done.
Her mom is actually very
Taylor
cool.
Mama, where you at?
Her mom is actually her mom? Very cool. Yeah, I've met her mom before. Yeah.
Oh, snaps. I'm the only one who's kind of not in the loop.
Well, when you meet her mom, you're going to love it. She's great. She's excellent.
Snap. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so I heard that mixtape and I'm like, I want to be a rapper. So for the next few years, I was in a group, like J&E group with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met a producer when she took me to a producer for the first time. And he looked at me, he's like, you look too sweet and innocent to try and be a rapper.
Wow.
So he's like, have you ever tried singing? And then I was like, let me try. And that's how I got into choirs and stuff.
Clearly, that guy can't be a motivational speaker.
Yeah, not at all, man. Like, not at all, man.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Everyone's trying to turn people into singers. You're just trying to make money. I think you make a gangster rapper.
So, you know what? I'll probably get you in the studio for long if you sing. You know, if you rap, you're going to be out of here quick. So let's just do the singing thing.
At 16, 32, 48 bars, a done deal. And when did it become professional?
Well, it became professional as a solo artist like 2 years ago, once I finished school, because, you know, I got black parents.
Yeah.
My parents like, I need to give a degree first, so I had to graduate.
Hey, why is everyone on the show being braggadocious? She could have just finished at school. She had to throw in degree, okay.
Hey, man, you have to.
Go ahead, tell us what university you went to and
you
the
have
degree.
To.
If you want to tell us your scores every year, you go on.
Yeah, clearly we're like doing a job search.
Today. Yeah, brag. Yeah. Brag on. Just brag on, sister, brag on.
It's just a bit of HR, guys. Nothing crazy.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Wait, but what did you study, honestly?
I did software engineering.
And like where?
You know, you don't
tell him where. Tell him where.
So I finished at Monash. Mm, yeah.
His favorite university.
Why is it your favorite university?
El Boite, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he slept with everyone there. But that's,
hey, come on, man.
I think he missed you. Yeah,
I already look like the bad guy.
I think it's because I was in the nerd department.
I swear. He does everything. He does everything. Lecturers, cleaners, grounds, whatever. Yeah. caretakers.
Dog, I'm right here. Like, I'm
oh,
right,
my bad. I'm sorry.
I'm right here, fam.
Because like, I care, right? Like, yeah,
like, come on now. Wait, sweet, software engineering, and then you're a musician. Hey, yo, you got cool parents, huh? You got cool parents.
Yeah, I know my mom's dope.
Her mom is heavily dope. Like, yeah, she's really cool. Yeah.
But
I'm
I
keep saying that.
You see, when you have a, I always tell people, and, you know, everyone's like, no, but Biggie did this, and Pac did this. This is not America.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Trump is the current president of the United States. It's not going to happen in Africa, you know what I mean? So you need that plan B.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure it's not going to happen in Africa?
No, it's not going to happen.
We don't have any Trump-like people who can be president?
We've got Julius. I mean, Trump.
Yeah, but Julius ain't a Trump.
Yeah, ain't no Trump.
Julius is the president. Yeah,
like, Julius is like Shaka. Shaka with, like, political schooling.
Yeah. Yeah, he can make it happen.
Shaka with political schooling.
Yeah, he's like, I just did my political science with my spear. That's the type of dude that Julius is.
What do you feel about musicians getting involved and artists and, you know, celebrities getting involved in politics? Because a lot of Tyler Perry been saying a whole lot of nonsense. Mm-hmm. The Rock been saying, we're like, hey, dog, you know what? Don't be saying nothing if you don't actually have anything to say.
Exactly.
Just to join just to join the bandwagon, you know what I mean? Then some of us are actually educated as well, yeah. Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
No, I think, like, you're right. If you're going to say something, back it up, you know?
You know
and most
I mean?
Of these musicians, they won't say anything unless they're getting paid anyway.
Yeah, true
so
story.
Half the time, I don't even, like, trust anything that they're saying because
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sure someone is giving you something somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but if you do say it, be legit, like, with it. Like,
yeah.
Don't just back out of
it. Understand it.
Yeah.
Before you just talk.
Taylor, you're really tomboyish with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see.
She doesn't look tomboyish.
She's got the shortest dress in the world.
Yeah, bro.
Right? And she's like,
and
yo,
she's
man.
Comfortable with it.
It's like, a shirt. Like, I'm wearing shorts, guys. Like, for real. This is
those
not a dress.
The shorts,
shorts
are like a thong.
Like,
yo, guys. Man.
And
like, yo.
Come on, you had to put on that. I was here feeling uncomfortable. Thank you for, you know, addressing the elephant in the room.
Guys, this is not a dress. This is a shirt, okay?
Because I'm here trying to talk to your face, but then your legs are all up in my face.
You should come to NYC tonight. This dress is like that.
I'm like, wait, hold up, thank you, dog. Hey, now I can breathe. Let's breathe. Let's take a second.
He's like, oh.
Right.
So what do you feel about the music? Come on, man. You couldn't ask a question even if you
oh, man. Yo, but wait up. So we spoke about Malawi, right?
Yes.
Shout out to Malawi. I hope y'all listening. You
hey, shout out to Buffalo Soldier and DJ Wax, who seem to be taking over Malawi right now.
Oh, are they in Malawi?
Yeah, they've been there for like the past week, yeah.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Anyway, there's nothing in Malawi except for rice and Gemini Major. No. We're being like, we need to be honest. This show was started on the premise of Africa. This show was started on the premise of Africa. Of Africa speaking to Africa, like, you know, like, I mean, as in genuinely.
He's crazy.
We don't speak to each other genuinely.
No,
one, we
don't
know anything about each other's countries. And two, we lie to each other.
But,
and it's the same situation.
But
with
we have
Bob
a lot
right
of
now.
Sex. We like, have a lot of sex, though.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
Africa loves each other, like, sexually. Yeah. They really do, yeah. They really do, yeah.
Yeah. But
ever,
anyway,
ever been to an African Cup of Nations tournament? Man.
Were you
crazy.
At an
Africa? Of course, man. The way I love football.
But anyway, so I was saying, like, no, we gotta be genuine with whatchamacallit, with Malawi. They got rice and they've got Gemini Major.
Okay, you need to stop Malawi.
And they
bashing,
got kids.
Actually.
I mean, Madonna gets kids from there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. They sell kids. Okay, so that's
so you guys
they
actually
have,
agree
they have
on
child.
This
no, they're not
joke.
Selling.
They have
kids,
child
but
tourism.
Like
child
they
tourism.
Get kids, like they give kids. A
I'm
lot.
Just being very honest. No, we need to speak to each other. That's what we know you
wow.
for, right? The same way they know about Zimbabwe because of Robert Mugabe. The same way they know about Morocco because of me. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Oh, they know. Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Jeez.
Shout out to Morocco. I love you. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah. But yeah, Namibia. I don't know Namibia from music. Name one musician you know from Namibia.
Taylor J.
That's it. Name another one.
Taylor J. I honestly don't know Namibian culture that well. I was actually asking her before the show about a lady called Julia Minaj.
I've never seen a video on anything Trace, not even Trace African. Thought, oh my God,
my video played on Trace.
I don't know. Wait, apart from you, and thought that might look like Namibia. Let me call Taylor J and find out if this is Namibia.
No, like, we're a small country, but we do have an industry. We have, like, giants in the industry. You just don't hear about them here because they're making too much money in our country.
Oh, right.
She came to be braggadocious.
They're making money. They're making money and buying seafood. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but, like, our industry is still small because we're only 2 million people.
Yeah.
So you're not going to hear that much from us. But we do have, like, a lot of land space.
Okay, well, give us an idea of, okay, who's the top, in your genre, who's the top artist?
Taylor J.
Me.
Oh,
yeah.
So the top artist in the country is like a house artist. He's okay. Like House Kwaito. He's been in the game for like 15 years. He's okay. Like Kaza. And then his counterpart is The Dog. So like
I know Kaza and The Dog.
So
yes.
They dominate. So yeah. And they do tracks like with Davido, Uhuru, everything. But you've never heard of it. You get what I mean? Yeah. So yeah.
Which is kind of sad because Namibia is just next door.
But that's what they see. That's what I'm saying. It's because we don't talk to each other. It's because we're close-minded. We need to start opening up and expressing our thoughts. Rice, Gemini Major, Child.
Well, Taylor's got you on the opening up, so I think you guys are good there. So yeah.
Can we not?
I want to make it so hard for you.
Why do you always paint me as the bad guy?
Because I know you're
actually the good guy. So for those of you who don't actually know us, Kamu is the big dude in the picture.
Thank you so
much. I'm the small, pretty... decent dude.
I'm the nice guy who goes to church every Sunday and obviously just wishes everyone.
Any guy who says he goes to church does not go to church.
Hell yeah, I go to church, man. I got a church in my house.
I go to church.
It's channel 410.
Yeah. I go to church.
Yeah, light-skinned people usually go to church.
Walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Taylor, I want to ask you, because I saw you perform on Tuesday night. I don't even know if you noticed me being there.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I saw you perform on Tuesday night at Booth Night Club in Santa.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
No, we're out on a Tuesday.
It's a Valentine's Day.
Life is good.
She was hella lit on stage. It was my first time watching her perform. Mm-hmm. I intentionally did not want to come to you and tell you that I'm here. Because it's the second time you're supposed to perform at Booth, with my knowledge. The first time was Case Mike's birthday.
Yeah.
That didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
But then now, on Tuesday, I watched her perform live. And she went buck.
Snap.
She totally lost
That's
it.
Dope. Yeah. That's dope. We should book her for life for free.
No, well, apart from that, I mean,
it's my nephew's birthday on Saturday.
I wanted to ask her because the style of music that I was introduced to, because me and Taylor have a prior history, right?
But
details. Not like that. Calm down.
Nothing dirty like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hashtag just
you know I don't do dirty.
I was trying to return the favor, family. How you go?
Anyway, so yeah, but the style of music you were doing then and the music you're doing now, there's a vast difference. Like, when did you manage to make the transition or chose to make the transition? I don't know.
Well, I feel like I'm still experimenting.
Okay.
Like, I'm like always using different styles. You know, I'm constantly growing. And what you saw on Tuesday, I was doing Super Chiquita and Dashiki.
Yeah.
Dashiki is like a trap song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people who heard me on that song, they're like, oh, are you rapping now? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I was like, no, I'm actually not a rapper, guys. Like, I'm still a singer. But I wanted to do a trap song because I wanted to have
your
like
aura is the aura of a rapper, though. Even as she's talking, it's like.
I think it's great. Right. I think it's way different and more commercial than what you were releasing prior. And for this market, I think that's really dope. I like Super Chiquita.
But you guys need to look out for my next single. You're gonna be shocked with that. That's not a trap song.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called Matao. Stand Together. It features Big Star Johnson.
Oh, is it like a love song type thing?
No, it is a love song, but it's not slow music.
No, we don't fuck with that.
It's not slow music. It's fast. Like, it's a club track.
Where are you going to debut? On our show?
If you guys invite me, then I'll give you the exclusive.
You've just been invited.
I'll give you the exclusive.
That was an invite right there.
No, you need to give us the exclusive. We would love that.
I always love exclusives. Look at this nigga. He's like, you got to wrap it up. When did you become a producer in here?
Really? When did he buy a watch?
Nobody wrapping it up. Not at all. Gonna stay here during your segment. Coming 30 minutes late, homie. Can I just see you got a hot chick here?
And business-wise, Taylor, just let the people know what else you do business-wise.
So I'm signed to my own label.
Okay,
so
dope.
I am my own boss.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we need to end the show. That's been too much bragging today. Light-skinned people be bragging.
Yeah, it's only light-skinned people
and they're
money.
Bragging to us dark people. Like, you know, this is actually racism.
It is.
To a certain extent.
It actually
is. Light-skinned people should not say things like that. You're not allowed
to say I have my own business and then I'm sexy and I sing and my mom is cool.
And I'm light-skinned.
Yeah. And all you dark people have nothing.
I'm signed to my own label.
She's got a dark road manager. Are you being abused, my brother? You can tell me.
You can tell
I
us.
I fix this type of problems.
Are you sure? You can tell us. Don't worry.
No. But yeah, God, I mean, obviously you signed to your own label, yes?
Yeah, so I do my own thing. Everything that you see of my brand, my websites, everything, it's my business. It's my company. You know what I mean? From the merch, everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. And who are the producers that you're working with?
Currently, I'm working with BC.
I know BC.
Yeah, BC is currently now. And before that, I was working with TRK.
Yeah.
And also working with KVNO, who's also another Sugar Cool Kids member. Yes.
Okay.
I would love for you to work with Gemini Major.
Me too. I would love to work with him. I think he's dope.
Would you like me to set that up?
Oh, for sure, man. I can do for sure. Right. Make that listen, call.
Listen to this right brother now. Trying to hustle call. That money. Man.
No, but you know me.
He's not doing this for you. You know that, right?
No, I know.
He ain't doing
I know.
This for you.
Shout out to my man, Jim, man.
But no, Gemini is dope, man. He's right dope. Now. Yeah.
Done. It's nothing.
Shout out to Malawi, Gemini Major. It's we hope you're listening.
No, Gemini needs to work with a Namibian artist.
Yeah, we're
exactly. So. And like, look, let me tell you something. Like, I like to find synergies in artists. And the way that you've just been trashing Malawi.
I haven't been trashing Malawi. I don't know why y'all
been you, you've been hating.
I'm
been
not hating, trashing. Bro. I'm actually giving Gemini props to say he's put the country on the map.
But,
and there's a problem yeah. because did you see the list that was published of artists to look out for?
Yeah.
That was published by MTV Base. Mm-hmm. They put Nadia Nakai under South Africa.
Yeah.
They put Gemini Major under South Africa. So those wow. are the things that I'm talking about. This is MTV Base.
Mm.
But then if we don't talk about it, and then y'all just see it in the tablets, you're like, oh, okay, cool, Gemini Major South Africa. But it's because mm. you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm bringing it up, everyone who's listening now but knows but that Gemini name, Major is from Malawi.
But they put your name under Morocco's.
But I am from Morocco. What you talking about? Hey, not all Moroccans are light-skinned. There's some of us who are dark.
Clearly, I can tell that.
Clearly, that's an insult. You're is a dark-skinned really? Person, too.
But I swear, you and Gem in the studio make magic.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, yeah, we should make that happen.
Mm-hmm. I like the style that she's got, the trap style that you got now and whatnot. Like, the real hip-hop-y you
mm-hmm.
is such a great sell.
But I'm not trying to be a rapper, though.
Yeah, but stop saying that.
No,
man.
I'm not. Yeah, like I say, I'm not a rapper, but I can spit. Like, that's
you
it.
You can't say, I'm not trying to be a rapper, though.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like two contrasts. Like,
if anybody met you and you said, I sing the black.
No, come on, guys.
No,
come
for
on.
Real, though.
For real.
For
so
real,
when
I
walked in here, you're like, oh, yeah, she a rapper.
Yeah.
Okay, give us a couple of tones. They call them tones or keys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go on.
He said, pretty lady, was very nice to meet you. And I can't wait to see you again. See you again.
Whoa. Yeah. Now,
now spit some bars.
Now give us some bars.
Okay. Dashiki, 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 dashiki. Look at me now.
Ah, come on.
Fellas be wanting me, wanting me, wanting me, wanting my crown. I'm not a rapper, but I teach them how to spit. Got all my haters, they be obsessed with my selfies. I'm on my new wave, pump up that replay. Check up my new shit, drop, watch me slay. Get out my space, me looking extra booty shaped. Kore, kore, nepa, ahadita, keke, kese, kwaha, hey.
Hey!
Hey, snap!
What did I tell you?
Hey, you need to be unsigned to your label and signed to ours. It's a done deal. It hey, the brother deal. You came with, you can leave, fam. You can go. It's a done deal. She's under new management.
We're serving
you want to meet him with
Garrett
right now? Like, we go get Garrett, sign the papers.
Cliff Central Records, what's
no
up?
No borders.
All right, we got to wrap it up because clearly that's all we ever do here, wrap it up. Taylor, just let everybody know where they can get you on social media, where they'll find you this weekend, mm-hmm. where they'll find you next weekend, mm-hmm. whatever. Let
and then
know.
Introduce the song that's going to play next,
yeah.
and then we
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So you can get me at Taylor J World. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
That's
Taylor J with J-A-Y-E, like Jay. Or you can go on my website. That's www.taylorjworld.com.
Bragging. We didn't ask for a website. We asked for social media.
I asked my social media. And then I believe next week you can catch me at Harem. I'll be hosting and stuff like that. Yeah.
Can we host
where?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hosting where?
At Harem.
Why would you gonna do? We're gonna talk about that after the show.
You gonna be with bad bats?
No, I'm not a bad bat. That, I ain't
you're
a bad,
not
bad, bad
bat.
That's
bad bats.
No, you know bad bats are everywhere these days.
Okay,
you
so
know,
yo, let's
like
do it.
No.
I don't think she's the type to hang with bad bats.
No, I'm a super chiquita. I'm not.
Hey!
A
bad hey! So introduce the jab.
Okay, so up next is Super Chiquita. Yes, girl anthem right here.
Hundreds, cliffcentral.com. No borders.
No borders. Catch you next week, Friday. Please tune in 1 p.m. Bye, Palliser.
This is Jay's World. Super Chiquita, super, super Chiquita. Super Chiquita, super, super Chiquita. Super Chiquita, super, super mega star. Super Chiquita, super, super Chiquita. We'll be right back.
cliffcentral.com.